This past Friday morning, most of us awoke to the news that there had been a shooting in a place called Aurora, Colorado. It seems that in the early morning hours on Friday, at the midnight showing of the new Batman movie, a 24-year-old man, whom I will not name, entered the Century 16 Theater carrying at least 4 loaded weapons, along with something like tear gas or a smoke grenade, launched that grenade and in the smoke and haze shot 71 people. 71 unassuming, unsuspecting people going there to watch a movie. In the process, he killed 12, at least to this time. Several remain in critical condition, but 12 are known to be dead, and the rest of the 71 wounded to varying degrees. Now, it is not my pattern, nor is it good practice to take sermons from headlines. I don't do it. I don't recommend it. However, what has led me to take a brief break from our current series in the biblical topic of heaven was a conversation that I had with my son Friday morning as we talked about some of this. And really, the conversation focused upon the absurd responses to this event by so many in the media, whether television or radio, and even the so-called good ones that the conservatives watch, were saying ridiculous things. And we're doing so even this morning as I was having my breakfast watching the news. The psycho babble that was coming forth from some of these people is sickening. Within hours of this event, there was all kinds of psychoanalysis of this man going on. Well, he had a Batman phobia. Or he had this, or he hated his mother, whatever it was. Or they're in other ridiculous cases, they were not only psychoanalyzing it, they were politicizing it. Politicizing the action, as in mere hours after it happened, ABC News with Stephanopoulos reported that this guy was a Tea Party member, only to find out that the person with the same name who was a Tea Party member was a middle-aged man and not this guy at all. And then it was also reported by CNN, whether it was true or not, I do not know, that the guy was a part of the re-elect Obama campaign. So they were politicizing the whole thing and blaming Rush Limbaugh or whatever, saying it's because of his policies or his political views that he did this sort of thing. The fact is that they are totally missing the point. Totally missing the real reason that lies behind this and much of the other bad things, or many of the other bad things, and much of the other nonsense that is going on in our country and literally in the world today. And so what I would like to do is to spend our time in God's Word this morning looking at the real reason that lies behind this sort of action and much of the other sin taking place before our eyes. Because what lies behind this is not psychological. What lies behind this is not political. What lies behind this is biblical, or should I say, the lack of biblical proclamation in the land today. Men need to pronounce the truth of God's word clearly and loudly in America today, so that this sort of thing and the mess that we are in the kind mercy of God might be reversed. So please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, as we see God's clear explanation for things like this and for so many other problems that we are facing in our society today. Proverbs chapter 29, and I remind you that oftentimes in the book of Proverbs, as will be the case today, that verses stand on their own, that you don't need, there isn't any connection to the immediate or broad context, and that will be the case as we look at verse 18. Follow with me as I read verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. What I would like to do as we begin this morning is to look at the second part. This breaks down into three natural sections. And what I would like to begin with is the second part mentioned here by the writer of this proverb. And I would call it the anarchy of the people. The anarchy of the people. As he says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. And in the Hebrew, it means let loose. And it is indeed a picture of anarchy. That is, everybody doing whatever they please. You know what? That's anarchy. That's what happens. People just go and do whatever they want, whatever they please, with no regard to the consequences. And that's the first thing we would say here, that this is, first of all, a picture of anarchy, and it shows rebellion. Rebellion. That's part of the language. This unrestrainedness that the writer is speaking of is rebellion. And it is certainly rebellion against society, the laws of society, the ways of society. It doesn't matter what the laws may be that are in place. People like this act as they please. They do whatever they want. They break the laws. They don't give any heed to them. It just doesn't matter to them. They are unrestrained by the law, unrestrained by any laws. And so it doesn't matter what laws may be in place. And it doesn't matter what society may accept. They don't care what society accepts. The picture is those who are rebelling against society. Why, it's a badge of honor for me to look like an outcast, a creep. How many of these people do we see today with all these things in their eyes and in their nose and in their lips and their hair spiked up and all of this stuff, which is totally what we would consider abnormal in our society. But to them, don't you see, that's a badge of honor. That's exactly what they want. It doesn't matter to them what normality may be in society. They are rebelling against society, rebelling against what society accepts. And it doesn't matter how they are perceived, because in their eyes, they're right. Doesn't matter what you may think, doesn't matter what you may say, and as we will see, it certainly doesn't matter what God may say. In their own eyes, they are right. They are rebelling. So the writer is painting a picture of rebellion against society. But it is also, and more pointedly, showing a picture of rebellion against God and rebellion against Him and His ways. Even as he goes on to say in the contrast, but happy is he who keeps God's law. So the implication is that these are those who do not keep God's law. They are rebelling against God's law. They are rebelling against God's ways. And so when you come to them and say to men like this, that here is what God says, they don't care. They don't want to hear it. It doesn't mean anything to them. It is, as we used to say, water off a duck's back. They just don't care. Because They're rebelling. They're unrestrained. They're living without the laws of God, the ways of God, the precepts of God. They're living without God in their own minds. This is rebellion against God. But furthermore, it's not only rebellion, it is recklessness. It describes recklessness. People engaging in all manner of wicked behavior, regardless of the consequences to others. It doesn't matter if they wound 71 people and kill 12. It doesn't matter who gets hurt in the process. The consequences are just unimportant to people when they are out of control this way. In fact, as we have seen in some cases, as you recall, there was a young man in Sweden who killed many people last year. In fact, the anniversary of that, I believe, is either today or tomorrow. The one-year anniversary when that guy went around that camp and shot all those people and blew up places in the city. He's arrogant. And it had to be done. We have to kill these people. We have to get rid of these people. You see, regardless of the consequences of their reckless action, they do this because they are unrestrained. They are out of control. No matter who gets hurt, no matter whose lives are destroyed, it's for the cause. So they are not only rebelling, they are reckless, regardless to the consequences of others and regardless of the consequences to themselves. They don't care if they go to jail. They don't care if they get shot. Once again, to them, it is a badge of honor. And think about with some of these things plugged into our modern day understanding of what's going on in Islam. To them, to kill somebody in jihad means that you are doing the right thing. And if you get killed, what are the good things that happen to you? You know, you go up there with those virgins. So see, for you, it's a benefit. So they are unconcerned with their reckless actions, even to the consequences to themselves. Because they think they're doing the right thing, and it doesn't matter even if they're killed, they'll go to be with Allah, or people will remember them for what they did, such as Timothy McVeigh. You know, remember what I did for America, or remember what I did for this or that. The consequences to themselves don't matter. They're willing to do it. People, this is rebellion. This is recklessness. And really, it's what we can call ruination. Ruination. The text is often translated in some translations, such as the King James Bible, when there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. We're talking about disaster or doom. We're talking about ruination upon the people. These people who are willing to die for their cause, these people who are reckless in their behavior, whether it's in murdering or in seeking pleasure, in taking drugs, in doing whatever they do to get thrills or kicks, perish. If not immediately, certainly in the last days, when they stand before God, as they have thrown off the law of God, as they have rebelled against the ways of God, when they stand before God, they will find the consequences of their actions to be ruinous. Hell forever. So this is a picture of anarchy. And certainly the picture here in this passage is also what we see happening around the world today. From the madmen in the Middle East, purposefully causing harm to people in bombings, blowing themselves up in bombings. This guy blew that bus up with kids just the other day. That would still be in the headlines were it not for what happened in Colorado. I think 19 died in that attack, including the guy who had the bomb. He didn't care what happened to others, and he didn't even care what happened to himself. He blew himself up for the cause. These ridiculous madmen in the Middle East purposefully striving to cause chaos because they think that it's in conjunction with their own religious and political views. Look at Ahmadinejad and all that he does, calculated to cause terror and chaos because he believes that the 12th Imam has to come back. And the 12th Imam won't come back until the world is in chaos. So he's going to do everything he can to bring it about. These false political views, these false religious views, these pagan gods that they worship. And out of that, they have thrown off, they have let loose, they are unrestrained when it comes to the law and the ways of God. Not only the madmen in the Middle East, but think of the madmen in Asia. Look at this. It's Kim Jong-il, his son now has taken over. But think about what Korea has done, or North Korea has done over the past years. They have starved their people to develop nuclear weapons and missiles to gain power or leverage. Total disregard for others and the lives of their people for a cause. This is common today. And then, of course, in America, we have kids killing defenseless people in schools, in movie theaters, in college dormitories. What on earth is going on? But let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's get to the heart of the message. All of these things are not because of men's psyche. All of these are not because of society. All of this isn't because the right, there's a right to bear arms and we got to outlaw guns now. All of this is not because of talk radio and Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or even liberal talk show hosts. But all of these are not because of talk radio or media. All of these are not because of the Tea Party or because of the current Obama administration. This goes back much further than this. It isn't political. It isn't psychological. It's biblical. And the lack of biblical teaching that has been put forth or has not been put forth in our country for about a century now. You want to know about the foundation for all of this and where the foundation of all of this comes from? Look at the text. Verse 18, where there is no vision. Where there is no vision. The anarchy of people stems from the absence of vision. What is he talking about? He's talking about prophecy. In fact, if you read in several translations, and the translation even on the front of your bulletin today comes from the English Standard Version, and this is how the English Standard Version translates this, where there is no prophetic vision. Other translations render it revelation. where there is no revelation. What is he talking about? It's the revelation of God's word. Where there is no revelation of God's word, the people are unrestrained. Where there is no proclamation of God's truth, the people are unrestrained, let loose, rebellion, anarchy. It is the revelation of God's word. In the immediate context, of course, it was God's law given by Moses that he speaks about. If you keep that, that's good. Israel was always to keep God's law. They were always to keep God's ways and God's laws. Doesn't matter how far removed from Moses this word is, they were to be keeping the ways and the laws of God, always. And obviously, many were throwing it off. Many were unrestrained. You see that in the Old Testament, where time after time, as you read through Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, certain kings kept the law, God blessed. Their sons rebelled against the law, and God cursed. Over and over again, we see that the people are to heed God's law, to heed God's way. The people are to listen to the law of God and to the prophets that God sent them to warn them. Again, in the history of Israel, over and over again, God would send a prophet to warn a king, you better not do that. You better not. I'm reading through Chronicles in my devotions. Over and over again, these prophets, they come and they say, don't do that or God will bless or curse you. They were to heed the prophets of God, men who came with the word of God, the true prophets of God, those who came and proclaimed the word of God. And today we have God's complete revelation to man, his self-revelation to man. This is God revealing himself to you, revelation. This is God revealing himself to you. It is his word. It is his truth. And we are to not only heed his word, but his word is to be proclaimed, preached from the housetops. Israel was to keep the law proclaimed by Moses. Israel was to keep the word proclaimed by prophets. And today we are to have pastors, preachers, proclaiming the word of God, preaching the word of God. And why we are in such danger and such trouble is because it's not being done. We are in such danger and we are in such trouble because people are doing all kinds of nice things, wonderful things, drama things, instead of preaching. In the providence of God, just last evening, I heard a good comment by a good preacher out of Texas, Vody Bachman. And he was talking about this ridiculous notion that is out there that men are to live the gospel. To live the gospel. You ever hear that? See, we're supposed to live the gospel before men, and that's how they'll get saved. And Vody was saying, this is utterly ridiculous. The word gospel means news, good news. You don't live the news. So could you imagine turning into your favorite news station and there are people acting the news? You don't live the news, you tell the news. And we have the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of Christ Jesus, who died for sins, the sins of his people, and who, when they die, will go to be with him in heaven. This is what we've been seeing in our study. That's the good news. And we don't live it. We're to preach it. We're to proclaim it from the housetops that men are in danger of hell because of sin, and that Christ has died for the sins of his people. Come to Christ and be saved. and then you will go to be with him in glory. Instead, we have people who are afraid to do it, unwilling to do it, shy away from doing it. The problem then is that the revelation of God is uncommon in our day. Uncommon. For almost a century. And I went and I looked it up. You remember the Scopes monkey trial? Remember that? Well, Scopes was the guy who was preaching evolution in the classroom. And he was in Tennessee arrested for doing that. And they went to trial. And they had those two great attorneys, Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan. And they were battling it out. Clarence Darrow was on behalf of the Mr. Scopes, and William Jennings Bryan on behalf of the prosecution, saying that it's not to be allowed to teach evolution in the schools, that we must teach creation in the schools. Did any of you realize that Scopes lost? Scopes lost. And so the prosecution won the case that only creation was to be taught in schools. However, they let him off on a technicality anyway. And what has happened ever since, and that was 1925, I believe, and what had happened since was it brought this whole notion of creation and evolution to the forefront in the news, and people started to teach more evolution as a result. Science rather than the Bible. That's what came from the trial. Science rather than the Bible. Science rather than religion. Well, their science is flawed science. Almost 100 years later, anybody with half a brain knows that evolution is impossible. But they're still telling it. And so for almost 100 years, kids have been told in schools, you aren't created by God. You evolved from a slimy pool. Evolutionary steps, and man came up and he was this and he was that. And the earth is 1 million years old. Oh, wait, the earth is 5 million years old. Oh, wait, the earth is 10 million years old. And wait, I think we're up to like 6 billion years old. It keeps getting longer. Because they realize that evolution is impossible, so we just give it more time. But this is what they're teaching kids. And so, what do you expect? What do you expect kids to believe? They're just going to believe that they're another animal. Maybe a little higher on the evolutionary chain, but just another animal. What difference does it make if I kill people? What difference does it make if I kill my own child in the womb? What do you expect when God's word is so uncommon and lies are taught in its place? For almost a century, they teach the opposite of truth, not creation, chance. Is it any wonder that children grow up thinking that they're not valuable, that they're not special, or that life is not valuable? And so why is it that we have children who kill their own siblings, or mothers who drive cars into a river with her children inside? Just another animal. Not created in the image of God, just another animal. The Bible teaches us that children are precious. Children are special. Children are a wonderful gift from God. Evolution teaches that life is not precious. Life is cheap. That man is not special. He's just another animal. What do you expect? This is what's going on in this society. And for almost a century now, men have filled pulpits with a false gospel. There is little expositional preaching, little preaching from the Bible at all. Instead, men have been fed watered-down, easy believism. The gospel has been a few stories, a few jokes, and, oh, come forward and make a decision. Seriously, that's the church today. Read a verse, put the Bible on the side of the pulpit, and tell a few stories to make people feel good, and then give an invitation. Come on down. You need to get saved. Why? They never tell them they're in danger of God's judgment. They never tell them that they're sinners in the hands of an angry God. That it is only the mercy of God that keeps them from falling into hell this very instant. Preachers aren't telling that. Preachers are telling them, if you want to get wealthy, come to Jesus. If you want to be healed, come to Jesus. If you want to be happy, come to Jesus. This is what the quote-unquote gospel has degenerated to in our day. And so who does Fox News call on to get expert opinion of what happened in Aurora? Well, they'll call on some priest. What does he know? He's not saved. They'll call on some psychologist. What does he know? Wasn't the guy who did the shooting studying to be a psychologist? Just a word of aside here. I remember when I went to psychology class in college. And it was psychology that was the number one undermining of God class that I ever took in my whole life. They tell you in psychology that when the brain dies, all these synapses fire, and that's where all the light comes from. There's no life after death. It's just a chemical reaction going on in your brain. Maybe that's what made the guy so destitute and depraved that life mattered not at all. There's no life after death. There's no God to answer to. When you die, you die. Any light you see is just synapses firing in your brain. And so they call on priests, or they call on men like Joel Osteen to get his opinion, or Rick Warren maybe. If they want to be really fair and balanced, why don't they call on some sheikh Muslim or something? Find out what Muslims think of it. Instead of calling a real man of God who would stand up and say the reason that people do things like this is because they have not heard the truth of God and they are unrestrained. There's no revelation. There's no power in the pulpit, in the preaching of God's word in our day. So men are let loose and unrestrained and they do whatever they want because they don't even think there are consequences. What we need are men who will stand up and say, there are consequences. If you're not saved in this life, you spend eternity in hell. You are in danger of the very judgment of God. The word of God needs to be thundered from the pulpits again. Not 15-minute homilies where there is no revelation of God, where there is no proclamation of God's word, people perish. People perish. So this revelation of God's word is relatively uncommon, or mostly uncommon in our day, and it will be that way until revelation is proclaimed again. But until that begins to happen, we are in a situation where the revelation about God is all but unknown. You realize how few people know anything about God, really? I happened to be talking to my neighbor the other day. And you want to talk to somebody who's lost and doesn't know anything about the Bible, about the things of religion? It's like, what? People in our day are so oblivious to the teachings of God to the truth of God. The revelation from God is all but unknown in our day. People don't know the first thing about God or the Bible. They don't know what God expects. Why are there so few going to church, truly worshiping God? It doesn't matter what I do on Sunday. God doesn't care. I need to do this. I have to do this. Oh, really? Tell that to God when you stand before Him. And He asks you why you profaned His Lord's Day. Men don't even know that God expects them to worship Him. Men don't pray. Men don't give. Men don't go. Men don't know. They don't know the things of God. They haven't been taught to fear Him. They haven't been taught to love Him. They haven't been told to cry out to Him for mercy. They aren't aware that they are in danger of His judgment for their rebellion. They don't know. They are, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, that's why we read that text a little while ago, Ephesians chapter 2, they are what the Apostle Paul describes that the Gentiles were. He says in verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So many people in America are like that. This describes them. They don't know anything about God. They don't know about His covenants, His promise. They have no hope, and they're without God in the world. Think about what he's saying. You know, the salvation came from the Jews. God showed a picture to the whole world of what redemption was like through the Jews and the sacrificial system and the shedding of blood, and how there had to be one who to die to shed His blood for the redemption of His people, which was Jesus. And the Gentiles didn't know anything about this. They didn't understand what those Jews were doing up there in the temple with the altar, with the bulls and the goats. It's just totally nonsense to them. Rituals to them. And this is what Paul is saying. You Gentiles, you didn't know what it was. You were without hope. You didn't know the promises of God. You didn't know about the covenants. You were lost. This is a description of the world today. I'm not saying that they're Gentiles, but they're pagans. Doesn't matter what religion they are. They don't know God. They don't know the promises of God. They don't know the things of God. They don't know the salvation that comes from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. They are without hope and without God in the world. Now back to our text. So what we have here in this text is the result of the absence of revelation. Anarchy. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, where there is no proclamation of God's word, His law, His ways, the people are unrestrained. The people are let loose. The people live in anarchy. This is what we have. And this is the result of the absence of revelation that we're seeing in our day. As Hosea put it in chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. As it is in America today. We have young men entering movie theaters, shooting people, entering schools and murdering people, and all this killing. Is it any wonder? What do you expect? When there's no proclamation of the Word of God, when there's no revelation of God to the people, when there's no law of God told to the people, when there's no judgment of God proclaimed to the people, what do you expect to happen? Lawlessness, ruthlessness, anarchy. They just think they're animals anyway. Let's go kill them. Is it any wonder? What do you expect when little children think that they're not special, when they're told that they just evolved, when they're not told about a God who loves them and created them in His image, when they're not told about a Jesus who died for the sins of His people, when they're not raised and told the good things that many of you people here know, what do you expect? Kids who are lost, hopeless. Is it any wonder? What do you expect? When people don't know that there really is a hell, and that if they're not saved in this life, that's where they will spend eternity. When we have these so-called pastors who are too unwilling to ever preach judgment or hell or sin. Oh no, we don't want to do that. We want people to feel good. They're traitors to the gospel. And they're sending people to the very place of condemnation that they're unwilling to preach about in their pulpits. What do we expect? With so little revelation from God's word being proclaimed today, is it any wonder that these sort of things happen? You know what's really more profound than these shootings? Because let's face it, shootings like that happened Friday, don't happen very often. They said this morning that 1% of all murders involve more than, I think they said, 5 people. 1%. That's still not very good, but it's a rare thing to go to a movie theater and to be involved in people shooting you. Has it ever happened to any of you? Well, we don't go to the movies that much, but I mean, if you're in the mall or if you're in a store, wherever, it doesn't happen that much. This is a rare thing. What's not rare is the rest of the stuff that America tolerates. They're appalled at this. What's more telling is what they're not appalled by. What goes on in America that people just say, it's part of life, it's just the way it is. They're not appalled when men take God's name in vain. They're not appalled with men who are drunkards. They're not appalled with men who build Las Vegas into a place to go to gamble money. They're not appalled by people doing drugs. They're not appalled by abortion. They're not appalled by pornography. It's tolerated. It's accepted. It's the American way of life. In the providence of God, even this past Saturday morning, in the paper that was sitting on the table over there, in the paper that we get, the little local paper, there was the writings of an utter pagan. I think the guy hates Christians. He's totally liberal. And we hardly ever even look at what he writes in the paper. But Saturday, my wife happened to read what this guy said. And it's really accurate. He's talking about our fears of the Shiite Muslims taking over in Egypt. And he's saying how many Americans are afraid about the Muslims taking over. But he says, oh, why should we be afraid about Muslims taking over? Why should we Americans fear the idea of any Islamist country? Because reflect. America is considered a Christian nation, but in reality operates well outside Christian tenets, and not just as the result of Supreme Court rulings. Large pluralities except abortion, alcohol, gambling, and in some states, prostitution and marijuana, premarital sex, cohabitation, divorce, vulgarity, violence, nudity. I mean, look, we're the center of nudist colonies of all the world. And what does our local commissioners, what do they want to do? They want to actually give money to promote the nudist colonies in Pasco County. It's not only just tolerated, it's promoted. Homosexuality is not only tolerated in our society, it's flaunted, it's promoted. They write books and they put up hate crimes if you speak out against it. They have parades in our cities, flaunting their wickedness and their sin. It's not just tolerated, it's accepted and even promoted. So we have what he calls cafeteria Christians. They pick and choose what precepts to live by while functioning in a modern democratic society. And to that I say, shame on them. That is not what Christianity was or is. Christianity would not, does not, and will not accept these things. But why is it so tolerated? Without the proclamation of God's word, men are unrestrained. They don't care. They're in rebellion. And these so-called Christians who accept this garbage, this filth, are going to hell themselves, no matter what denomination they belong to. Christianity is not a live and let live religion. True Christianity thunders forth the truth of God's word in power. That unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And if you are born again, you will know them by their fruits. And their fruits will be righteousness and holiness, not drunkenness. Our nation just tolerates this stuff. I have often said to my family, and perhaps even to you, you know, we just tolerate this. Anytime the police want to stop tolerating drunken driving, they would park down the street in front of that bar, up the street in front of that bar, and wherever there's a bar in any community, park a police car there, and any car that drives out of their parking lot, pull them over because they're driving drunk. Do they do that? They tolerate it. Until these drunkards run into somebody and kill them. And then they put him in jail for a year or two. And then they get out and they drink and drive again. Our society tolerates killing babies. Promotes it. Protects it. Heavens forbid if you ever take away any money from Planned Parenthood, we won't be able to murder as many kids. Not only protects it, tolerates it, promotes it. These are the real underlying problems in our society that lead to some of this bigger stuff. Because there's such a callous disregard for God and His revelation. And because there is such a callous disregard for God and His revelation, we will see virtue, we will see morality, we will see our society erode and get worse and worse. Worse. America will lose the blessing and the protection of God unless it repents. I don't mean to sound mean, but I do mean to sound firm. What do you expect? With such watered-down, mamby-pamby, what passes for preaching in our day? Why are these things tolerated? Why are these things there and allowed? Because of the lack of preaching in the pulpits for the last 100 years. A false gospel, a watered-down gospel, no preaching on God's glory, holiness, judgment. Sin is no longer called sin, and hell is no longer mentioned. And so these things happen. What do you expect? Here's the remedy. The anarchy of the people, the absence of vision, and in the text, the absolute need for God. Look what it says. But happy is he who keeps the law. Blessed. I'm happy. It may sound a little mean, but I'm happy. I know that my family and I are saved by the grace of God. And we strive to keep his law, to keep his way. And I'm happy because I know that he saved us and we're living by it and showing that we are saved, that when we die, we will be with him in glory. Happy is he who keeps the law. Nothing will stop the downfall in this nation until there is the proclamation of God's word again. Nothing will stop the downfall except the preaching of God's word. And I don't mean jokes and stories in the pulpit. I don't mean the no Bible message we were talking about earlier, where men have a whole message already and they go, oh my, I never had a verse. I better find a verse and throw it in just to make those Bible people happy. The preaching of God's word is what America must have if it is to recover not only from such things as what happened in Colorado, but to recover from the political cesspool that we have today, Republican or Democrat. The debt, the toleration of wickedness, the promotion of sinfulness, it won't stop. It won't stop. It will never stop until the revelation of God is proclaimed again. We need the absolute revelation of God to come forth by men who are willing to call sin and sin and call on men to repent from their sins. Real, powerful, Whitfield type preaching. Great awakening type preaching has to happen if there's ever going to be a great awakening in America again. You can't have it without the preaching. You got to have the proclamation. We got preachers in the pulpits who even believe in evolution. We got women in pulpits. We need men to proclaim the truth of God's word. Nothing will stop this downfall except the preaching of God's word. And nothing will stop this downfall until this nation turns to Christ. Christ is the only way that America can be saved. There will be no savior from Washington, D.C. Everybody get all excited about Mitt Romney. He's a Mormon. There will be no savior from Washington. America needs the only savior that can save, Jesus Christ. And without salvation, men perish. You children, you remember, God, the God of the Bible, is what you need. Wherever you go, wherever you are, don't forget God. Don't forget his law. Live for him. As the text says, and be happy. Be blessed. Don't fall into the traps of those who reject him. You're getting older, and some people will seek to draw you away from the things that your mom and dad have been teaching you all your life. Live for Christ. And remember what we read in Ephesians, where Paul said that once you were without God and without hope, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Oh, I pray that you would be brought near by the blood of Christ, so that you would be, as he says in verse 19, no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints who are of God's household. In other words, family. Let's pray.